desire of your heart tonight. Amen. Lord, rain on us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Amen. Purify our hearts. Amen. I want you, if you will, to go back with me to the Gospel of St. John. We're going to read another passage of Scripture there tonight. You glad you're in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Praise God. John chapter 4. We're going to go to chapter 14, rather. John chapter 14. Amen. John chapter 14. I'm going to read a very familiar scripture to a lot of us tonight. Just there's something that's on my heart. For a little while, we talked this morning from chapter 13, and we're going to go into 14 tonight. John 14, verse 1. How many's ever read this passage before? Ever heard this passage before, at least? Amen. Beautiful, beautiful words of Jesus. I want you to catch this very first phrase, though, tonight. Let not your heart be troubled. Would you say that with me tonight? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Underline that tonight, or just make a notation of that in some way in your Bible if you believe in that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you that the word of God is sure. I thank you that your name is a strong tower. I thank you, Lord, that we can put our whole peace and our confidence in you tonight, God. Father, I just ask you, Lord, to move in our lives, to move in our hearts. I pray that your comfort and your presence and your hope would be established in us tonight, dear God, that we could stand on you, Lord, despite what's going on inside of us. Move tonight, Lord, in this place. I ask you, God, to quicken us and encourage us. And Lord God, be lifted up in every mind, every life, and every family here. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been a very interesting evening for the disciples as they are wrapping up what I talked about this morning, the Passover meal, the Last Supper that they would have with Jesus. And during this time, we know that if you study this or take the time to read this out, you'll read about how Jesus took what we now celebrate as the communion, where he took the bread, broke it, and told them to take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Then he took the cup of wine and he told them to take and drink, that this is my blood that was shed for you. And he began to explain to them, he says, that I will not again drink of this cup with you until I do it in my Father's kingdom. And how many knows that there is truly a day coming? And if you'll keep reading in chapter 14, he talks about how that Jesus went to prepare a mansion for you and I. And how many's looking forward to that? Amen. Where we'll spend eternity with God. And we appreciate the Lord for that promise. Amen. But he talked about how that they would come. But while he's there, he also personifies the role of a servant as he comes over there and takes his robe off and takes a towel, wraps it around him, and he kneels before the 12 men that were there and begin to wash the disciples' feet. And he began to explain to them, this is what humility is. And can I just say this tonight, and this is not where I want to stay, but I really believe this, that humility always comes before exaltation. What I mean by that is that before we can ever be elevated, we need to learn how to be brought down, amen, to a place of humility. How many agrees with that tonight? I mean, we have to understand what it is to be a servant. We have to learn what it is to do that. And this is what Jesus was explaining to them. This is what it's all about. And after these things start to happen, you'll understand that the mood quickly begins to change as they start to hear some very disheartening revelation from the Lord. The first thing is one that I talked to you about this morning, how that he said that one of the 12 that were in that tower tight-knit group was going to be a betrayer, and his soul is out for 30 pieces of silver. He also explains to them how he's going to head back to the Father and the glory of heaven. Amen. And he said that they are going to be left here without him. And that may not seem like much to you and I as readers, but you have to understand, all of their hope, all their confidence, everything they had was in following this man Jesus. They believed that he was going to be the restoration of Israel. They believed that he was truly their king. They put everything they had. They left jobs. They left family. They left everything to follow this man. And this man that they would come when Jesus walked by and say, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They left that just to follow Jesus Christ. And so you'll understand the heartache that is inside when he said, "I am about to leave you." The third revelation that he gives is specifically to the Apostle Peter when he comes over there and he says, "Amen, that before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." Peter jumps up and said, "Oh no, sir, I'll go with you even to death." Jesus said, "I'm telling you, the time's come, amen, when they're going to ask you and you will deny me." Amen. And so all these revelations begin to come forth. And I'll assure you that the excitement and the emotion and the energy that they possessed when they walked into the upper room was completely taken out of them when they walked out of the upper room because of everything they just heard Jesus say. Amen. Completely deflated their spirits. You can understand that. When we walked in, we were excited. They said, "Let's go into that room. Let's celebrate the Passover." Amen. But now Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me. Another one's going to deny me. And the rest of you are going to be discouraged at the fact that I'm leaving." Amen. How many has ever had those moments? You come to church or you come home or wherever you were, and boy, I mean, you are full of energy, full of excitement, full of joy. And it's just somebody just took a needle and just popped your balloon. Amen. How many has ever had that before in your life? And that's what's going on inside of them. What was making this so difficult to grasp is because that after Jesus made this statement, he didn't respond by giving some miraculous word of deliverance like they heard him say so many times before in the last 3 years. Many times when he talked to him and said words, miracles happen. I want to explain what I mean. Amen. That whenever they came times and people had a need, Jesus just spoke a word and it made things better. Amen. You think about what it was when he came and he spoke to the dead and said, "Rise again," and what they do, they got up and rose again. I mean, the times that he spoke to lepers and said, "Be thou cleansed," and the leprosy left their body. The times that he told demons to come out of people that were possessed and they were delivered. Times that he spoke to the cripples and said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," and immediately they stood upon their feet and walked. And they knew that Jesus, all he had to do was to speak a word and everything would be all right. They knew he had the ability to do that, and all this stuff he's talking about is going away. But instead, the only thing Jesus says to them is this: "Don't let your heart be troubled." That's it. Nothing about how I'm going to make it better. Nothing about how it's going to make all your problems disappear. Nothing like that. He just said, "Just don't be troubled." He just said, "Look, it's coming, but don't be troubled. If you've been believing God, then right now you must believe in me." Are you getting this tonight? Amen. As I thought about this scripture, the Spirit of God began to resonate something in my spirit about how oftentimes you and I as believers find ourselves on our knees before God and we're crying out to the Lord and we're saying, "God, I need an answer. God, I need a miracle. God, I need a move from heaven. God, I need you to do something." Amen. How many's ever had those 911 desperation calls? I'm not talking about that "now I lay me down to sleep" stuff. I'm talking about, "God, if you don't move soon, something bad's going to happen." Amen. And we call out to God and say, "Lord, we need some help." Amen. From the struggle that we're in, and we pray, because because we know that we serve a God that answers prayer. And how many's thankful for that tonight? We know that we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We trust Him that He's bigger. We trust Him that He's greater. We trust Him that He's stronger. We trust Him that He's bigger than our problem. We still believe that He can heal the sick. Amen. We still believe He can wake the dead. We still believe He can meet your need because the Bible says it so. Amen. I mean, we just know. That's why we pray. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe God's doing it, I don't know why you'd waste your time asking Him. Amen. That's about like going up to your mom and dad. Amen. Going up to them as a kid. If you didn't think they was going to give you some candy or money, you wouldn't waste your time. Amen. And I don't know why people even bother asking God for anything if they're going to get up and say it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, I believe God can. I believe God will. I believe God's concerned. And I believe God will make a way. Amen. I believe that. You see, we know He can heal the sick because we read about times like in Mark chapter 5 when Jesus comes to the lady with the issue of blood that's been like that for 12 years who just reaches up and grabs the hem of His garment. And what happened? The Bible said that immediately the flow began to dry up in her body because virtue flowed into her. And how many believes He's the same God that can do it now? Amen. We know He's a God that can pay our bills and help us because there was a time, amen, when they needed to pay taxes. How many remembers this story? And Jesus says to him there, go out into the sea. There's a fish going to come up and he's going to have a coin in his mouth and take and go pay what needs to be paid. How many believes if God can cause a man in a boat to drop a coin into the water and the fish swallow it and bring it right to the land just when you need it? How many that God can meet your need today? Amen. We know that He can restore broken lives. Because I love this story in John 4 where the woman of Sychar at the well comes after being married 5 times and now she's living with a man and her heart is broke, her life is broke. But Jesus comes to her and said, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. And she takes a drink of living water and she runs back to town and said, come see a man. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He's the restorer of lives that are broken and hearts that are broken? And that's why we pray to God, because we know He can do it for you and I. The reality is, there are times when we petition God over a great need in our lives, and the response is not always quite what you and I wanted to hear. You see, because we prayed about our kids that were going crazy and all this, and we wanted to hear God say, you just go on home. They're going to be sitting at the dinner table with their mind right and their lives right. They're going to tell you that they got saved tonight and all this, and that's what we want to hear. But how many knows that sometimes, more often than not, what ends up happening is that we get a phone call saying that your kid's just gotten more trouble or something else bad. Am I talking tonight? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? There's times that we sit there and we told God that the light bill was due or the electric bill or the water bill is due. And we expected God to say, go to the mailbox and there's going to be a check in the mail that's going to pay for it. And we get all piped up and excited about it only to go to the mailbox and you ain't got nothing more but another bill. Amen. Amen. We come those times and we prayed and asked God about a miracle in our bodies because the disease and the trouble, and we expected God to say, just go away and get you another opinion. The disease and all these things are going to happen. But you know what happens more often than not? Many times we go and we don't hear that either. In fact, sometimes the only response God gives us is this: I'm going to work it out, but right now, you just don't need to let your heart be troubled. I told you, I believe He's a God and do anything He wants. I mean, I told somebody the other day, I just believe if God, by the wave of His hand, the breath of His mouth, can speak the universe into existence, how many knows God can do anything He wants to do? Amen. Because He's God. Amen. Somebody just shout, He's God. Amen. He's God. He can do whatever He wants to do. Amen. I firmly believe, amen, that He can shape us and He can do whatever He wants. Amen. I believe that. I believe this without a doubt. And we've seen it right here in prayer. Amen. God can cause disease and sickness to leave your body. That's the God we serve. Amen. We know that. We know that God can easily drop money in your bank account. We know that God can easily change the whole facade of your household and the demeanor of your house. But the fact is, sometimes God said, I haven't forgot you. I haven't turned away from you. I know exactly where you're at right now. I haven't forsaken you. But at this moment, I just need you to trust me and to rest in my peace. I don't want your heart to be troubled. I'm going to work this out. But you need to work through the process and allow me to do what I need to do. See, what I realize is that God sees the whole picture. How many knows we just see from what's right in front of us tonight? We don't always see everything that's going on. And we got to believe, amen, that God's going to work it out for our good some way or another. But I believe tonight, amen, if you're here and there's been times that you just said, God, I have prayed and I've prayed and prayed. I believe God brought me by with a word just to encourage somebody for a moment and say, look, the word is tonight, just don't be troubled. He's going to work it out. He's going to do it in his way and his time and his method. But right now, you just need to settle in his peace and say, look, God's not going to leave me hanging. God's not going to turn away from me. God's not going to walk out of my situation. He's with me right now. How many believes that tonight? Amen. I mean, if you're walking in the fire, how many believes he's right there with you in the fire? If you're in a den of lions, how many believes he's in the lions with you? If you feel like you're being assaulted by the enemy, how many is glad that God is right there with you in the warfare? He has not forgotten you, but you got to trust him. You got to hold on and say, God, if you're God, I'm going to leave this at your hands and your feet, and you're going to work it out in my life. Amen. Amen. Some of the greatest people that you ever read about in the Bible, some of the most awesome, greatest men and women of God that you'll ever read in this book, I can tell you, if you look at their story, it wasn't one of glory. It wasn't always one of a perfect life. But as a matter of fact, if you read this, you'll find out some of them went through the most difficult, trying times you can possibly imagine. Go over there in the very beginning. The Bible said that God created Adam and he put him in the garden. After Adam gets banished, the Bible says that we know that he's the father of all living. Eve becomes the mother of all living. But you know what starts to happen off there, all that? You know the scripture says that his kids get into this tirade with each other. Amen. And one brother kills another brother, and then trouble starts to come from the very beginning. Amen. In the very beginning of this word, go read about Noah over there. Noah, as the Bible said, amen, the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's a righteous man. He's a preacher of righteousness, doing the things of God. But while he's trying to build a boat that God told him to build, which has really seemed like nonsense because it's never rained on the earth, amen, it's never been a drop call for a fall from the sky, yet God said, I want you to build this enormous boat and get ready because the rain is coming. And everybody's looking at Noah like he's a lunatic. And I'm telling you tonight, if you've ever been in that place, you understand what it is to be ridiculed when all you're trying to do is please God and everybody thinks you've lost your mind. Think about Abraham. As he comes over there and holds on for years, and all God keeps saying is, Abraham, I gave you a promise. I'm going to give you a son. And yet year after year after year, when Abraham's getting to the point where he's saying, God, how long? God just says, don't be troubled. I'm going to answer. I'm going to honor my word. Amen. Wednesday nights we're talking about the blood of Jesus. And one thing I keep reiterating is about the fact that even when Jesus was in the garden and he says, Lord, help me, because I'm reached a point to where my spirit is indeed willing, but my flesh is weak. And he comes over there and even says this prayer, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not thy will, not my will, but your be done. Think about people like it was for Daniel, as I afforded to a minute ago. Amen. This man has done nothing deserving of being thrown into the den of lions. But I'm telling you, all he's doing is throwing the window open and praying to the Lord three times a day. He heard what they said about that. They said, if you pray to any other god or any other man beside Darius for the next 30 days, this is the punishment. Daniel didn't care. Amen. He just throws it up and said, I'm going to call on the Lord because I believe he's a God that will answer prayer. Hallelujah. He said, here's the deal. I know what they're saying, but I'm going to please God. Just think about his friends there in Daniel 3. The infamous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that comes. When they said, bow down when you hear the music to this giant statue of Nebuchadnezzar there. And they come over and they say, look, we've heard what you said. We know what you told us to do. But we refuse to bow down to any other God except our God. Amen. And he said, we understand that our God is able to deliver us from these flames. But even if he does not, we refuse to bow. And oh, if we could just have some folks like that that were confident, yes, we're going into the fire. Yes, we're going in there. I don't know what's going to happen. But when we get in there, we don't have to be afraid and troubled, because God is going to get us out of here one way or the other. Take your Bible. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read something to you tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. Hebrews 11 and 36. Says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And I'll tell you what, I just love that part right there. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know what he's saying? He said they believed in a God. They sacrificed. They gave their life for a God. And never obtained the promise. He said, God has preserved something for you and I. And tonight I'd encourage you, if you feel like you're in the way and saying, God, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right. Amen. To be confident and understand, amen, that God's going to work it out in his way, his time. Amen. No matter what, I'm telling you, hard times are coming in life. We know that, even as believers. But I just feel like God wants somebody to know, even in the hard time, we don't need to be troubled, because our God is there. Amen. We just got to believe what he says. What does that mean to you and I tonight? I mean, as I said, from a natural standpoint, it don't make sense to say that while your whole world is falling apart around you, that you just lift your hands to heaven and say, oh, I just know everything's going to be all right. How many knows that don't make sense in the natural? It don't make sense for a woman that sits there, a Shunammite woman who told the prophet there, he said, don't mess with me. If I'm not going to have a child, don't fool with me. Don't play with my head. She ends up having a child. That child becomes a young boy. He comes out there, dies. You remember the story. They come out there and say, how is everything? And what does she say? It is well. Amen. How many knows that don't make sense? Your kid is dead. Amen. And sitting there, and all she could do is well. Why? Because she said, I know that he died. I know he went through this. But somehow or another, God is going to work that out in my life. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense to come in the natural and worship and praise God and sing about, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right, and sing about a mighty God and a strong tower. None of that doth. And people look at us sometimes and say, do you not even understand how bad things are in your life? Why are you even going to church? It's bad. I'm going because God's going to make a way. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but I'm going to worship him. He is my God. How many is glad he's your God tonight? He is my God. He's got me in the palm of his hand. He's going to work it out. I've got to trust him and let my life be what he wants it to be. The Bible says, for we must walk by faith and not by sight. I mentioned Job's wife this morning and about what that was. She seen her husband in such a shape that he's in. And the only thing that she can think to say is that, Job, why don't you just go ahead, curse God? Just go ahead and die. Just get it over with. Job looks at hers and said, ma'am, you are talking like one of the foolish women. His friends sit down there for 7 days. His best buddies are sitting there just staring at him. They don't even say nothing to him. They just look at him and look at the pitiful shape that he's in. Finally, on the seventh day, one of the real good buddies stands up and says, Job, we just have a question. what kind of sin exactly did you commit to get yourself in this place? And how many is glad, amen, that not everybody has that righteous stupidity, amen. Praise God. Because how many knows the reality is we don't always get in a mess just because something we did. How many knows we're fighting a real live devil tonight? Amen. That comes to attack us and come against our life. And I know that the enemy sometimes will even try to put you in condemnation. Sit there and say, you know why you're going through this? Because you must have done something wrong. The fact is we are in warfare tonight. But I promise you, God sees it. God has not abandoned you. He's there to help. But right now, he just needs to give you peace, amen, to go through what you're going through. Just telling you, he may not always bring deliverance the moment that we ask him to do it, but I do believe God's going to do it one day. Right now we need to hold to a promise. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your heart be troubled. Amen. How many blows? He's a perfect God, and he does perfect things, and his peace is perfect. Amen. Amen. Stand with me tonight if you will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace is a miracle tonight. I'm telling you that right now. Peace is a miracle because we live in such horrific moments of life. And this Christian walk, let's be honest with you. You know, we have those mountaintop experiences. We love those. We rejoice in those. And those are good, and those are good for us. But can we be honest tonight? Sometimes we get way low in the valley. But God said something to me several years ago when I was going through a very low point in my life. This is what the Lord said. He said, if you had never got in the valley, you would have never known that I was the lily of the valley. If you'd never faced the thorns, you'd never known that I'm the rose of Sharon. Sometimes the pain of life is so devastating, but I'm telling you, it's right then that we discover who God is, what God does tonight. Amen. Leah's going to sing just the old song, Amazing Grace. And I want us tonight, if we will, if we can all find us a place to pray for just a little while and spend some time with God. If you're needing some comfort, if you're needing some peace through a situation, maybe your life is out of control. Maybe you're sitting there saying, look here, I've been praying on this. I don't know why nothing's happening. I don't know why things are changing. All I can tell you is God's got you. God's got you. God's going to work it out tonight. As she sings, would you just find you, if you want to come to the altar or in your seat or wherever, let's just spend some time with the Lord. Let God put his peace in our heart tonight. Amen.